Howdy, everybody. Bob Tallman for No Spin Rodeo. No politics, no BS, just hard-hitting news and rodeo commentary from two of the most trusted sources in our sport. Kendra Santos, Tommy Joe Lucia. Listen up. Here we go.
Welcome, everybody, to No Spin Rodeo. We want to welcome our team here today, the Wizard of Piranha, our producer who keeps us in line, Greg Teagarden. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning, guys. How are you all today?
I'm fantastic, and we briefly heard her, but the queen of this podcast, the first lady of rodeo journalism. Hello, Kendra. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm a little tired, but I'm great. Thank you.
Now, I see a bunch of saddles in the background. Where are you at today?
I'm at Oates House in Shakota, steer wrestling capital of the world, after a whirlwind trip.
Is there a Dollar General in Shakota?
If there is, I've never been there.
There's usually Dollar Generals in all those little towns. Greg, what do you got going on today? What's happening in Florida? Any hurricanes?
Well, fall is finally getting here. Starting to cool off a little bit. I'm sure everybody else in the country has already seen it, but it's really nice.
Yeah, it was election day, so everybody was voting yesterday, and so I think that's cool. For me, we're hoping to get into our home before Thanksgiving, and that will save me a divorce. We should be about a week and a half from getting into our new house in Lipan, and then I'll have 4 days to move 2 seatainers into the house, so that Donna has her pot to cook a turkey in for Thanksgiving. So let's hope that the really slow painter gets finished. That's my biggest thing on my mind right now. What about you, Kendra? Are you traveling a bunch now? Where all are you going, and where are you at? What's going on in your life?
I am traveling a ton. I'm also relating to living out of sea trains, because since December 21st, 2022, I came home from the NFR to a house flood, and I'm still living on a concrete foundation as they piece my house back together. So I'm relating to that. Oat and I just got back from Shakota. We started a few days ago. I flew from California to Wichita. We drove, I think it was about 10 more hours, to Pierre, South Dakota, where his family, the Busterberry family, was inducted into the Casey Tibbs Rodeo Center in South Dakota. And then we drove all night. Oates said, we're rodeoing now. We drove all night and all day to get back to Fort Worth for the world premiere of the Lane Frost documentary, which was really cool. It was really fun to be there and be, you know, back with Clyde and Elsie and Tuff and Josh Frost, Kelly Macy. It was, you know, Mike Macy, her husband. It was a really fun reunion. So that was cool. It was worth the effort.
That sounds fantastic. Well, let's get this show kicked off. We always kick it off, get everybody caught up with a little bit of rodeo news.
Okay, so I'll kick off today's news with the 2023 Canadian Finals Rodeo up in Red Deer, Alberta. Zeke Thurston won his fourth Canadian saddle bronc riding title, and Logan Hay won the average. Barrel racer Lynette Broadaway won her first Canadian title on her horse Cowboy, and a rookie for the Canadian Finals, Carly Cowie, won the barrel racing average. In the bulldogging, Scott Genthner won his fourth Canadian title, like Zeke, and Ty Miller won the average. World champ from down here, from Montana, Haven Medjid, won his first. He won the average and his first Canadian tie-down title. Clint Lay won the average and his second Canadian bareback riding title. Shea Beaver, I hope I'm saying that right, won both the average and the breakaway roping championship for Canada for 2023. And I thought it was interesting. Mexico native Edgar Durazo won his second Canadian bull riding title after also winning the average. That's, I've never heard of him. So that's kind of cool. There was an all-around title for Logan Spady, and Kyle Wanchuk, which has to be Colby's brother, won the Kenny McLean Award with money won in the bronc riding and the team roping. And I think that's cool. In Canada, they do recognize people doing things, you know, at both end of the arena, which is kind of like our Lindemann Award down here. We'll get back to Josh Frost in a minute. But it was the team ropers who brought the house down at this year's Canadian Finals, which was, you know, that doesn't happen every day. Montana's Brady Tryon and Oregon's Calgary Smith went on a heater. And the only thing I can compare it with in my brain is the year that Bobby Hurley and Alan Bach won five rounds in a row at the NFR. It was insanity. And that's when Alan Bach went from 15th to first and won a world title. It was nuts. But at this year's CFR, which just finished, Tryon and Smith, they won the last four rounds after winning second in the first two. They won the Canadian Finals Rodeo average in a record 24-3-on-6, which, holy heck, is four flat averaging, you know, per steer. They set a CFR earnings record of 62,837 apiece and a new Canadian annual earnings record of 91,493 per man. And so what round three at the 2023 Canadian Finals Rodeo totally reminded me of is round nine at the 2009 NFR, when JoJo LeMond and Randon Adams, they set a new NFR record. They were 3-4, and then bam, Chad Masters and Jade Corkle turned right around and were 3-3. And that's a mark that still stands. It was tied by Caleb Driggers and Junior Nogueda. I think it was 2017. But that night in Canada that just happened, where Colton Schmidt and Logan Spady, they're 3-8. Then here came T. McLeod and Brady Chappell. They're 3-7, which ties the Canadian record. Then Brady Tryon and Calgary Smith break that. They're 3-5, a new Canadian record. And then, bam, Ren Richard and Jeremy Buehler are 3-5 to tie the new Canadian record. It was like crazy, cool, great watching, like insane. So that's super cool. Another event that just happened that's a big deal in our rodeo world is the Indian National Finals Rodeo. And it was held the end of last month at the South Point in Vegas. And I would congratulate all the champs. And one that stuck out to me that I thought was interesting is that the team roping champ, J.W. Roper, who won the team roping with Ralph Williams, he's the dad to 2023 NFR bareback rider Jayco Roper. So I thought that was kind of a cool connection. And I would also congratulate the 2023 INFR Hall of Fame inductees, Victor Begay, Marty Giandro, Chuck Morgan, and Marvin Yellowbird. And Marvin is fan favorite Derek Begay's dad. Oh. I'm sorry. Marvin is not. Victor Begay is Derek Begay's dad. And so Victor Begay will be there front and center cheering on his son for the 10th time in Vegas. It's really cool. And I talked to Derek the other day about his dad getting inducted, and I'm like, what about that, Derek? And he was like, well, I don't know. He's just dad to me, you know, which is just typical Begay. So it's cool when people who are not ones to brag about themselves are recognized for lifetime achievement, which in Victor Begay's case includes raising a son that's like as cool as they come when it comes to cowboys, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you threw me for a loop because I was trying to figure out how a yellow bird begat a begay, but now that that's all cleaned up, we're good. Well, I've got a couple shout outs real quick on your news. Keenan Vine, close friend of mine, produces the CNFR, great event, good producer, very good at what he does. So congratulations on a well done CFR. And then Kurt Blake works with the INFR guys for producing. I've got the Northridge Liquors hat on, by the way. Kurt also owns a liquor store in Laramie, Wyoming. So if you're ever going across that interstate there and you're heading to Utah and you know you've got 7 hours of nothingness, you could stop by and get you something for when you arrive at Rock Springs, which is usually where you probably stop before you go over the hill. Anyway, shout out to those two guys. I also wanted in news to congratulate Scott Walton. If you don't know who Scott Walton is, Scott has been in this business, kind of like Rusty Bradbury, who works for Piranha. You know, they started out driving truck, working with stock contractors, then got into the U.S. smokeless tobacco field with Walt Garrison, who, you know, that tribute that's coming up. And Scott won the Danita Barnes Award. Scott's been in the business 50 years. Great guy. He ran the scoreboards, and now he has his own scoreboard company, does stats and stuff at the NFR with Rick Salee. You know, the other nominees, which is pretty cool, were Eddie Longfellow, Kay Blakely, Jim Fain, and James Harper. All of those people, Kendra, you and I probably know or have a story about. And the past winners, I mean, Scott's in with Art and Linda Osball and Fred and Norma Dornkamp and Quail Dobbs. And, you know, it's funny, some of our listeners, these names pull back a lot of memories from a lot of really golden times in professional rodeo. So congratulations, hats off to Scott. And then a real quick shout out to Wade Garrett, the Justin Standard of the West Committee Man of the Year with Lehigh, Utah. Great rodeo in Lehigh. The Flying U, Cotton Rosser has his prodigy son, Reno, with their great event. 7,000 people in the town. They sell it out. It's a fantastic event. Hats off to you, Wade. Congratulations on the Committee Man of the Year. So lots of things, lots of awards, lots of crownings, lots of world championships in different phases all over. So great news. Cool.
Can I add one to that list also that has been announced, you know, ahead of the NFR? Dr. Tim Eastman from the California Rodeo in Salinas is the PRCA Veterinarian of the Year. And that's a really, really important role in rodeo today. So I would give a huge shout out to, you know, rodeo is a huge part of the California vaquero tradition of the state of California. And Dr. Eastman, you know, Dr. Etienne before him, it's veterinarians and rodeo, very, very important for our sport. So shout out to him also.
One of the greatest things they've did is to require a veterinarian, right? I mean, this is a huge thing for the athletes and the animal athletes to have care on site. In case you didn't know it, that's a requirement. There's, you know, it's funny, you run across all different ranges of veterinarians, old school, new school, but all of them have one thing, and that is do what's best for the animals. And that's prevalent in our sport, and we want to keep it that way. So congratulations.
And it's important for people to understand that we have nothing to hide. We want to educate people about the facts, because the facts, you know, they make sense. The role that they play is very important, especially in 2023. Yes.
You got it. Amen. All right. Well, that's it for rodeo news.
Hey, guys, I know you're busy at the NFR, but I was wondering what you guys were doing between like 10 and 10:30 every day.
Oh, well, you got some plans for us? Is this something that we should know about?
Yeah, well, I know, like, you know, a lot of us like to go down to breakfast and eat down at the Coronado down there at the South Point. And I figured, since, you know, it might be a good time for all of us to get together and kind of get the inside scoop of what's going on at the NFR, and maybe we can record it and put it out for everybody to listen to.
Kendra, what do you think? Are you up for breakfast there at the South Point by Coronado on the gold carpet for a little 10 episodes of No Spin Rodeo?
I mean, it'll be just like the last, this is my 36th NFR, I think. So this will, you know, it'll be nothing different. We're just going to add a microphone to the table, right?
Isn't that the truth? Well, we want to thank Michael Gaughan, Mr. Growney, for inviting our cast and crew for our No Spin Rodeo podcast at the NFR. We'll be on the gold carpet right by the statue. We wanted to be close to Coronado because if you're not intimate in rodeo like we are, a lot of us, Greg has learned this now in his 10 years, but that Coronado breakfast, right, Kendra? You've got, you know, there is more discussions and points of view, and that thing is packed. You know, the only good news is because of Vegas's time change, most of us are up at 4 a.m. So we go down to Coronado and get in line because we can't sleep. But we will be sitting there every morning from 10 to 10:30. We want to encourage all of you to stop by and say hello, take a listen there on the gold carpet. And also, all of our No Spin fans that aren't able to go to Vegas, I can assure you that the First Lady in journalism will in 30 minutes get you caught up on what's going on. So pretty exciting, huh, guys?
Yeah, I'm pumped.
It's cool. And you know what? The Michael Gaughan, you know, like Benny Binion before him, has been the greatest host to Cowboy People. And I'll say, this is, you know, my first NFR was 1987, the first to work on the front lines of media. And before the South Point, it was the Gold Coast. And I have stayed at Michael Gaughan's place every year that, you know, this is 36 or whatever, because there's no greater host to Cowboys, period. And Oat and I, our tradition, I work really late, you know, at the NFR, the press room, finish up at night. We go for War Wonton at midnight at the Coronado. And then, you know, it might be pancakes when we're doing the podcast, but at night it's War Wonton soup. So yeah, that's the place, and it's open 24 hours and most of us are working about 20.
Yeah. It's just, we just want to thank South Point for allowing us to be a part of that place. Feels like home when you're in Vegas. It's home, right? And you walk in and it almost restructures your mind, right, on what you're going to do. We've got 6 events that we're a part of and producing. And I know you're trying to find time. So it'll be a quick one, 30 minutes. But we want all of you to listen to us if you can. And we would love for you to stop by, give us your comments, maybe visit with us a little bit. We'd love to shake your hands and say hello to all of you. So big news, No Spin Rodeo, South Point, 10 a.m. to 10:30 on the gold carpet right beside Coronado. Come have breakfast with us at South Point. All right. Now what we're going to do is we always want to recognize our no spinners that provide us feedback. So we want to always take a little bit of time to comment or discuss some of the feedback. We didn't get a whole lot of feedback in the last episode when Casey Field announced that he'll never be raking them again. And if you were wondering why the podcast just ended, it's because all 3 of us dropped the mic. Like, what else do you say when one of the greatest calls it a day in bareback riding, right, Kendra? I mean, what a mic drop moment. Yeah.
Yeah, there was nothing we could say to top that.
Yeah, we'd like the last word to be for the Cowboys anyway. So if you ever hear our podcast and we stop with the Cowboys, note that is intentional. So in feedback, one of the things that we'll have a brief conversation on, but I think it's a talking point in the future, Kendra, one of our no spinners said, why are more of the rodeo people not taking advantage of some of the other opportunities out there, like the WCRA? Good money, not many rodeos. And, you know, we've briefly touched on this. One of the big things is that you're limited, especially in the rough stock, how many times you can compete. So you really got to, with the NFR being the Super Bowl, you need every ride to count. So I think that's probably some of the reason. But, you know, there's huge money in participating in the WCRA. They're great events. And so, you know, I think I'd love to hear a quick comment on this, but I think, Greg, maybe you put this on the docket that we talk about other rodeo opportunities in the future and maybe the pros and cons and why people do it. But Kendra, you know, one of our no spinners was wondering, why do you think more of the athletes aren't involved in some of these other events?
Well, you know, our point of view today is going to be something similar. It's like rodeo is, you know, every man for himself situation, and everybody, you know, has to take their own life and their own career into consideration and do what's best for them. So, you know, in some cases it could be that they don't know enough quite yet to take advantage of these situations. And in other situations, people make a decision because, hey, they don't have enough horsepower to go around, or they want to put their focus, you know, on one organization. There's all kinds of reasons for that. And they're not stupid either way. They're doing what's best for them.
I agree. Hats off to the WCRA and any, the IPRA, any organization that's out there supporting our lifestyle, putting money up for people to win. That's welcome. And we'll get into that more. Interesting. We had a text from the 605. Kendra and I like to hear every now and then, because I know I'm a little bit of a narcissist. It says, great podcast. I've rodeoed for 40 years. Love hearing your behind the scenes stories, which we, Kendra and I, have a bunch of those, and providing 2 level-headed opinions. in most cases. I like how he put in most cases. So that probably means that he disagreed with me somewhere along the line. I say he, it could be a she. This is non-gender specific texting. It's gender neutral texting. We want to, you know, make sure that we're keeping up with the culture. Why can't our current government act more like you two? Keep up the good work. Well, we're not going to talk politics. We said we were never going to talk politics, but some common sense wouldn't hurt north of Richmond. So thank you to our no spinners. Remember, if you want to provide feedback, we love the comments. Like it makes Greg and Kendra and I's day to read these. Write down this number, 817-668-2395. That's the text line for No Spinners, dedicated. We don't know who you are, where you're at. We just know your area code. Or you can email us at nospinfeedback@gmail.com. That's nospinfeedback@gmail.com. So thank you to all of our No Spinners out there. Thank you for listening to us. Please continue to give us fodder for discussion. Yeah. You know, one thing I wanted to bring up early, and this may get cut out of the show, Greg, but I heard this on something, so I'm going to ask you guys. When you put on your shoes in the morning, do you put one sock on and one shoe and then another sock and another shoe, or are you both socks, then both shoes? Greg?
I am a sock, shoe guy.
You're a total weirdo, but I put both socks, then both shoes.
Yeah, but there's some, so I was really thinking about this, right? You know, what if there's an emergency, Kendra, in your house? You've just got two socks on. You're going to run out of there without a shoe. Now, Greg, if you look at Greg, he's got one shoe. He's got at least 50% of his footing on. You should really consider maybe one sock, one shoe. I'm just saying.
I'd rather run barefooted, both feet, out of an emergency in my house. I'm not going to sit around and wait for whether or not I have one. And who wants to run with one shoe? No.
If it's an emergency, you're going to, well, whatever. But listen, running barefooted, I'd rather stick a hot iron somewhere than even walk barefooted. I can't do that. Too many boots on my feet when I was a kid. So sorry about that. Random. Let's get into real talk here. Our point of view. Kendra, what are we going to exchange thoughts on today?
I got one word for you, reride. This has always been a hot topic. And like most others, is absolutely not black and white. It's one thing if a bull hits himself coming out of the chute, stumbles and falls, you know, and a guy has no chance. But what gets really interesting here is when it's a judgment call for the cowboy and taking the reride means taking a score off the board. And that's just a straight up gamble. My friend Tuff Hedeman used to use the P word, and I don't mean pansy, when guys declined a reride.
P word. P. Okay. Go ahead, Kendra. Sorry.
Okay. Because, like, you know, if they had a chance to win more money, that's how he felt. And he very rarely said no to one himself. He was not a hypocrite because he was there to win first, and he felt like he could ride every bull there. So these decisions do get a little different when big money gold buckles are on the line at the NFR. And I talked to Tuff yesterday, and he agrees. It's less cut and dried all the time in a way. Because as the bulls get better and harder to ride and riding percentages get lower and more money is on the line. Anyway, it's a continuing conversation, but even Tuff is not one to call somebody stupid for turning one down under certain circumstances now. So there are reride examples, old and new, that really have stood out to me over time. And I'd like to mention a couple of them. 30 years ago at the 1993 NFR, Ty Murray took a score off the board. Everybody thought he was crazy, but that one reride decision was the difference in the end, and Ty ended up beating Daryl Mills for the world title by $95. Fast forward to just the other day at the finish line of the regular season at the NFR playoffs in Puyallup, Washington, Trey Kimsey rolled the dice when he declined a reride on a relatively low score, and there were still more than enough guys left to ride who could have knocked him out of advancing. So naturally, in today's society, haters hated. But turning down that rewrite, it ended up, when it was all said and done, for Trey Kimsey, he won the whole rodeo when it was over and a ton of money. So there's that. My favorite recent rewrite story was at Mandan, North Dakota this summer, when Stetson Wright was 86 points and took a reride. And he ended up getting bucked off of the reride. But imagine, the social media hecklers had a field day over that. And I grew even fonder of Stetson Wright over his response to the haters. He was there to win first, and anyone who didn't like it could kiss his winning ass, was the way he put it. And to me, to that, I say, go Stetson. Anyway, Tommy Joe, I know that you have some things to say about this subject, and you've talked to some other guys.
Well, when you say rerides, there's just only one thing for a lot of us that comes to mind. So please forgive me, but I just have to say what I'm thinking. Nothing ever busted me like that old pony ride. I couldn't seem to catch my breath. I couldn't seem to hide. I hobbled back barefooted just a searching for my pride. And just I couldn't believe my aching years when the announcer said, re-ride, re-ride. Oh, Chris Ledoux. Did it kill you? Oh, so Kendra was plugging her ears. I guess I didn't do a good rendition. But the thing about it, that can be edited out. The thing about it is, that's what I think about when I literally, every time I hear rewrite, is Chris Ledoux's version at the end where he says, you think you got me good enough? And they give him one more try. Rewrite. Rewrites are interesting in this sport. You know, I started trying to think about other sports that have something similar to this, and then I'll get into the rodeo side. Well, in golf, you've got a provisional, and if you're not a golfer, it's interesting because if you hit a ball and you think it's out of bounds and you're not going to be able to find it, then you're able to hit a second ball. And if you find your first ball, you can pick it. And the provisional was put into golf just to save time, by the way, not to let people, you know, have two balls. So let's talk about rerides so that you all know how it works. A reride is an option to get on another animal because the judge deemed that you were fouled and did not have an accurate opportunity to win with the rest of the field. So that could be a foul. The animal hits themselves on a gate. It could be a flank strap falling off. It could be the animal stumbling, setting you off of your rope, or it could be the animal just not performing to what the rest of the animals that night performed. And they all go to the cowboy right after. They'll throw a flag on the ground, and you see the flag on the ground. And the cowboy then has the option to take another animal. But the key here is when they take the next animal, if they opt to take their reride, they take all points off the board. They don't have that provisional. They can't find the lost ball. It's over. And so that's where the rub here happens in rerides. And it's in the rough stock events, bareback ride, saddle bronc, bull riding, that these guys have the opportunity for a reride. And if you look at the NFL, you know, they've got these next gen stats now, if you're a sports guy like me, and they pop up on the screen and it's all this AI stuff figuring out what they should do. And very seldom in the NFL do you see anybody take points off the board, Kendra, right? So if an offensive team scores and there's a penalty, it's not very often. I don't even know if it's ever happened. I couldn't find it where they said, you know, I'm not going to take the field goal. I'm not going to take the touchdown. I'm going to keep the points and get 5 yards closer and try again. Now, I think that there's such a disconnect between that and rodeo rewrites. There really isn't anything that compares to that. And for me, it boils down to a couple things. You hear the announcers say it all the time. We talked about this in our pre-production call. Businessman's decision. But there's some truth to that. In the moment, these cowboys have to weigh options. And some of the options out there are, now, you mentioned it earlier, and I agree with, if you got fouled at the gate and you couldn't finish your ride, if the horse or bull just ran off, right, and a flank fell off, all these things that can cause a reride, you don't get any points. Then it seems to me that the reride, unless you're significantly injured, is a no-brainer. However, the real thing that we're talking about here is these guys, like you mentioned, Stetson. I mean, to wipe an 86 off the board, right? And to say I can beat an 86, there's a lot of things, you know, we've got all these, I'm going to call them, what do I want to call them? Because in football, you call them like couch quarterbacks. But now with the Cowboy Channel, everybody's out there watching and they're all experts. Everybody's an expert. They're an expert on what joke the clown should tell. And now they're an expert on whether or not a guy should take a re-ride. And for me, the thing about the rights, all those guys in blue, the quality that you see of them harkens back to this older mentality in rodeo. This, give me another one. Okay. Give me another one. Or, you know, well, that horse is this and this. Well, I don't care. I'm a right and I'll ride him. It's this attitude that the rights have. And so you've got this businessman's decision, and then you got this kind of winning attitude that are rubbing, in my opinion, against each other. What do you do? And so, and I think it's a little different in the PBR. In the PBR, the number one guy currently, I think, has a 31% success riding percentage. Well, seems to me if you ride anything in the PBR, you're a moron if you take the score off the board, right? It doesn't make sense to me. 31% being the best. But so when I was thinking about the PBR, and it's interesting in teams, they have a really unique approach where the if they get a re-ride in it, the coach decides the re-ride, the cowboy doesn't, and the coach then can put in someone off the bench. So someone hadn't rode can ride that re-ride, and they don't know what the re-ride pin is, so they don't even know what they're running in. So that's a whole different approach to re-rides, which I think is very interesting. But when thinking about re-rides, one of the people that came to mind to me, who I respect immensely, and I think he has a nice balance of thinking about stuff and being tough, and that's Cody Lambert, right? If you've ever been around Cody has his fair share of feasting on my emotions and tearing me down. So if you don't mind, I did ask Cody kind of, what's your opinion on re-rides?
The first thing is you get him rode. You get that bull rode. If you felt like you won all you could win, then it makes no sense to take the re-ride. But if you felt like you could do better, then obviously you're going to take it. So usually if you're offered a re-ride, either you got fouled and you don't have a score, or you had an inferior bull and you have a low enough score where you're not going to win anything. So trying to win, it makes a lot of sense to take the rewrite. If you were injured or something like that, then you'd have to take that into account. But if you're competing in a bull riding or in a rodeo, and you have a chance to better yourself, and you've got any confidence in your ability, you should probably take it. Don't leave any of it out there. Well, if you want to play it safe, the last thing you should be is a bull rider.
Now, you know, I think it was interesting in there. The last part is just, if you're not into taking risks, don't ride bulls. But, you know, and in that conversation, Cody talked to me about the Stetson Wright thing, Kendra. You know, he said, I saw on, or I heard, because he's not on social, about Stetson getting bashed on social. And he said, I just got one thing to say to them, just like Stetson did, shut up. So that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. So that's kind of where I land. I can't say that I can take a hard, firm position on this, except in the case where bravado wins over brains. And I don't know that that happens a lot. But if that does happen, just like Cody said, do what you got to do. If you got a chance to win, if you've got a legitimate chance to win more, you should probably take the re-ride. So that's kind of where I'm at, Kendra.
Fair enough. This is absolutely not black and white. It is absolutely case by case. And if people don't think that bull riders aren't perp mathematician in the heat of battle, they have to make a decision quickly, you know. And so there are a lot of things they factor in. I'd like to close our rewrite conversation today with a call I had last night with Josh Frost about a rewrite decision that he made at the 2021 NFR. To set up the conversation, I think it's interesting to remember that the 2021, Josh has finished reserve world champion the last 2 years, 2021 and 2022. The 2019 NFR was his first. He did not make the whistle one time. So here we go. We're about to talk about the 2021 NFR, which, you know, is his second. And that's where he's coming at this conversation. But before I turn it over to Josh and his, in his words, I also have to mention the 2023 PBR World Finals. Going into the last day of this year's PBR World Finals on Sunday, Josh had not won a dime. And then on Sunday, he wins round seven, which was worth 35 grand, which helps him make the short round. In the short round, Josh Frost is 74 points and turns down a re-ride. Here we go again. Well, guess what? No one else made the whistle. That 74-point score was worth 90 grand to Josh Frost. It also helped him place in the average, and he left town with $157,500, okay, on a Sunday. With that, let's just hear what Josh had to say. Okay, Josh Frost, we're talking about re-rides today. One of the recent year examples that really stands out to me was at the 2021 NFR. You were 57 points in round seven and did not take the re-ride. Talk about that decision at that moment on that night.
It was one, you know, it was eliminator pin of bulls, and it was honestly a hard decision because I, you know, as a kid growing up, I'd always, my dad, you know, the cowboy way is take the re-ride. My dad always had preached to me, you know, try to win first. And, well, in that moment, I think I was two bulls down in the average, and the guy that was winning the average already bucked off, so I knew keeping that score was going to put me to where I was only one bull behind him. And also at that point in the round, I think there was only four guys left. So worst scenario, I end up fifth in the round and still win 14,000-15,000. So those were all the things that went through my head in that very moment was, you know, first question is, what is the rear ride? You know, as a bull rider, you always got to be confident that you can ride anything you get on. But from the business side, you know, right, I ride bulls to make a living, and a guaranteed 15,000 in my pocket and a spot up in the average was really in line with my goals for that finals. And gotcha. And realistically speaking, in the eliminator pin, the chances of them riding the next four bulls were very, very slim. And so it was going to end up being a pretty big check.
Did you catch any grief from the rodeo peanut gallery during that week for that decision, or did anybody say anything?
Nobody really said anything because the way it worked out, I look like a genius.
But you had three rounds to go.
I did. You know, in the moment, which I think I ended up winning like 43,000 for that ride, Stetson ended up, he didn't nod on his bull. And then the next bull stumbled. So Stetson actually took two re-rides in a row that night, ended up riding the third bull for like 92 points. And so different scales of the spectrum, but there's a big difference on taking a re-ride when you don't have a score and when you got one on the board. And
right.
At the time, you know, I was, if I felt like I would have needed to take that re-ride to win the gold buckle, maybe would have took the re-ride. But where I was sitting and was just trying to gain spots in the average, and sometimes you, statistically speaking, a score in the eliminator pin is pretty good regardless of what it is.
Right. Fair enough. So then we get down to round 10. You're 92 and a half. You win the round, and 568 and a half on seven, you win the NFR average. So yes, when it's all said and done, you do look like a genius. So I guess the last thing I would love for you to say today is what you would say to the armchair quarterbacks or the re-ride naysayers that are always out there judging and second-guessing decisions you guys make in the heat of battle.
The biggest slack you get is the, you know, it's the old-school cowboy mentality. Or, you know, do you want to win first? And you do want to win first, but you also got to, you know, as a bull rider, you got to believe you can ride everything, but the number one bull rider in the world still bucking off 30% of the time. So
right,
taking that re-ride is knocking a score off the board. And there's a, like I said, so many variables that go in. If there's times that you might be going to win good money. There's other times I've seen people not take re-rides when it's like, okay, like that's not going to pay you. But then there's the long, you know, there's so many variables from the longevity of, especially at the NFR, like we're getting on 10 of the rankest bulls in the world, and sometimes being healthy and keeping that score to rolling the next day fresh pays off in the long run more than being the cowboy and getting on another one. And, you know, it's different for everybody, but everybody on the couch is a cowboy. They, oh man, if I was in that situation, I'd have took that re-ride for sure. It's like, I spent my whole career taking every re-ride I did. And since I've been looking at it from more of a business side, I'm higher in the standings and I make way more money than I used to.
Well, fair enough. Also, and you won a ton of money. Do you remember how much money you won at the 2021 NFR after that 57 pointer?
I said the 57 pointer paid me like $43,000, helped me win the average. I think I got out of about $228,000 in 10 days. So.
Hello. Fair enough. I appreciate it, Josh. Thanks a bunch. We'll see you soon.
You betcha.
Take care.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. You know, here's my wrap up on this, Kendra, and you can disagree if you want, but my takeaway is that all of these super cowboys that jump on social media, they make a statement about whether or not someone should take a re-ride or not taking a re-ride. I really get sick of hearing it. We usually have an opinion after the results. It's often easy to look back and go, after you know the results, what you should have done. And remember, these guys are figuring out what animals are in the re-ride pen, where they're at in the average, and they're doing all of this with a shoot boss yelling at them, do you want the re-ride? Do you want the re-ride right now? I got to tell everybody if you want the re-ride. And they're trying to catch their breath. And usually these re-rides happen right at the end, it seems like. If you're a producer like me, you usually get a re-ride on the last bull. And you've got to wait to get the re-ride loaded, and you hate it from a producer standpoint. But really, here's what I've got to say. If you think everybody, you know, you've got an opinion on re-rides, do me a favor, go enter. Put yourself in a position to get a re-ride and see what you think then. If you've done that, respect. If you've been there, done that, and you have an opinion, hats off, respect. Your opinion matters. If you haven't done that, maybe you should shut up and let us listen to people's opinions that are relevant, because these guys are making decisions to feed their families, and whatever decision they make, they should stand behind it, and we should just butt out.
Okay. I like to leave it with the cowboys. So I will just pick out my two favorite lines from our two guests today. The favorite thing for me by far that Cody said was, if you want to play it safe, the last thing you should be is a bull rider. That's right. Right. I mean, I remember one time I was in a limousine in Las Vegas with Ty Murray, and I go to put on my seatbelt, and he's like, "Toots, what are you doing?" I'm like, "Buckle up. You need to buckle up." And he goes, "I ride bulls for a living." he was laughing at me, but anyway, and my ultimate favorite out of this conversation is Josh Frost saying, "Everybody on the couch is a cowboy."
Yep. Amen. So that wraps it up for our episode of No Spin Rodeo. We'll see all of you back in 2 weeks. Thanks for listening.